Back on downtown, it's 4:30 on a Monday afternoon. Time for us to talk a little hockey. We welcome in Ty Anderson from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, how are we doing today?
Well, you know, they say confession is good for the soul, so I have to say it right here. It's my fault what happened last night because the Bruins were up 2-0. I was feeling pretty confident, and I said, yeah, I'm going to take the dog out and just walk her around the block a little bit to make sure she's good for the night. This game is in hand. Oof, my mistake.
Yeah, that's always a mistake in this time of year. Breaking routines, assuming anything is won or lost, even for that matter, can always be a dangerous game. So that's all right. You got another chance to right the ship, and then you got to do it two more times after that. So you're not out of, it's not totally out of the realm of possibility, but can't do that again for game five.
No, the dog's got to just hold it a little bit longer here. Well, let's start with the play everybody's talking about. You've had a chance to, I'm sure, watch it countless times. Was that a bad no call on what sure looked like goalie interference?
I believe so. I do not see a situation in which Jeremy Swayman is allowed to play his net to make a play on that puck. It's a cross-check from behind, and if you want to call the cross-check, that's okay, but that goal can't stand. That is quite literally rule 69.3, that if you are the opposing team and you push a player into a goaltender, that is still goaltender interference. It doesn't really matter if it's your own player or not. If you cause that interruption and you cause that interference there, it's supposed to be no goal. So this was a by definition bending of their own rule. And this is where, you know, there are certain things that I accept having gray area on. Like, I think it's natural in hockey. Like, the sport moves so fast, it's so chaotic that you're going to have gray area. This, however, there's no gray area. Like, this is their own ruling. By their own interpretation of the rule, that goal should have been goaltender interference and wiped off the board. It wasn't. From that point on, the Panthers had the momentum and then some. And, you know, that was ball game right there. And so, you know, I'm not going to sit here and absolve the Bruins of how they're playing because they're not playing good enough to beat a team like Florida. However, we can't deny the impact that call had on the game and what followed from there.
Well, and apparently Sam Bennett can do pretty much whatever he wants and get away with it based on what we've seen the last two games.
Yeah, this is really frustrating, I think, in a lot of respects because, you know, we're talking about something that shouldn't be a factor. But we are, because the NHL made it a factor. Not suspending, not fining, you know, whatever you want to say for Sam Bennett, you know, not calling a penalty. Like, it's pretty frustrating that it's hit this level, I think. And you know, you look at game three, clearly a punch to the head, clearly a punch to the face, knocks out a star player. The only question that I have, and I've had this question a lot of times, is if the shoe is on the other foot, and that's Brad Marchand doing that to, say, Matt Tkachuk. Is he getting the benefit of the doubt? Is Department of Player Safety, are they going, okay, that's just the hockey play gone wrong? Like, probably not, no. And this is sort of the problem the Bruins have is that, you know, the Bruins have looked at this from a number of angles. The most damning angle, the one that was shown last night on TBS on the pregame show, was not made available to them until last night. But they've all seen the angle. Like, they clearly see a load-up for a punch. I think anyone who has working eyeballs who is not a Panthers fan sees a load up punch to the face and nothing came out of it. And so I think what's awful about it is that the NHL essentially doubling down on their initial botched call and really creating just a really ugly situation for themselves that could manifest itself before the end of the series. You know, if the Bruins are losing big and they know their season's over, what do you have to lose by going for your pound of flesh? And this is the bet that the NHL has made for themselves. I talked to Don Sweeney today, and I asked him about, you know, has the NHL warned you about retaliation? And he said no. He said they've talked to the Bruins after game two, but nothing leading up to game four. So if the season is ending, it's going to become open season on some of these guys on the Panthers, and it might get really ugly. Honestly, the NHL's own doing.
Well, as you mentioned, that certainly wasn't the only reason for the loss. And then the third period in some ways felt like a microcosm of the season, as the Bruins just really didn't even get many good shot opportunities. And even when they did, a couple of times on that late power play right in front of the net, unable to get the scores.
Yeah, absolutely. And just kind of really bizarre play. You know, like the best way to describe it is it's as if their brains shut off for 35 seconds. And then during that 35 seconds, the Panthers score a goal, or the Bruins miss a net, or, you know, there are two things that stick out to me, Rich, during that third period. One is the Alexander Barkov goal that ends up being the game-winning goal. That comes off an offensive zone face-off for the Bruins. Alex Barkov goes end-to-end without anyone even really disrupting him. And he's a great player. I understand that part of it. But you got to have a better effort there. Like, you can't let him go end-to-end and score a goal with momentum on their side. And again, the play begins 200 feet away from Jeremy Swayman's net. It shouldn't get to that point. And secondly, they have a delayed penalty, and then they just kind of, you know, they futz around with the puck for 50 seconds. They bleed their own clock, and they get nothing out of it. It's like, you're not winning the game, guys. You can't afford to just bleed clock like that if you don't have a set plan. And so there are just these little moments here that I think are exposing some of the mental miscues or the mental shortcomings the Bruins have compared to Florida's roster, which is battle-tested, went to a Stanley Cup final last year. But I think the Bruins, and I think they're so deep in their own head right now that they're almost taking themselves out of games beyond what we've talked about, the officiating and the penalties and all of that.
Yeah, that was what was so frustrating, not just last night, but several times during the postseason, lack of a sense of urgency from them.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and if you're not going to win the penalty battle, which they are clearly not going to win, you have to sort of be on top of your game in every other respect, and it just doesn't feel like they're there right now. You know, I think what's frustrating about last night, if you're a Bruins fan, is that you look at how they started. It was a fantastic start. They get two quick goals. They're playing physical. Their layers are great. Their connectivity is great. And then it just stops. It just dies on the vine. And you're like, wait a minute, what happened to the first period team? You know, I don't know if they ran out of gas or they just thought, oh, we got a two-goal lead and Jeremy Swayman's playing incredible. We don't have to worry about this. Like, those are both mistakes against a team like Florida. Again, a team that they claw their way back into games and back into series. We saw it last year. We've seen it this year. Like they're never truly dead. And so to not just effectively stop playing and to, you know, to basically put yourself in a hole when you have no reason to, it's costly. It's been costly. It continues to be costly. And it's a big reason why they're down 3-1 right now.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown, and there can be many fingers of blame pointed, but none of them, I don't think, should be directed at Jeremy Swayman, who has been absolutely terrific throughout this series.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. You think about it, you know, on Sunday night's Game 4, Panthers don't score until I believe their 27th or 28th shot of the night. He made a ton of big saves leading up to that point. I think he's been fantastic. I think he's given you no reason to go away from him. The only reason you would go away from him is because he's tired. But if he's tired, he doesn't really look it right now. He's been sharp most nights, and the failures have come in front of him. I think maybe last night was the first time where you could say, don't love that goal, the first goal, the Anton Lundell goal. Mm. But again, you look at the totality of it, you look at sort of all the saves he made leading up to that, he was fantastic, and he continues to be. And so I think that he's been their best player by far. I think he's almost lapping the field in terms of who else has been as good as him wearing a Bruins sweater in both the playoffs and specifically this round, I would say.
What do you think the chances are that we'll see Brad Marchand in Game 5?
I don't think we're going to see him in Game 5. He skated today. He's on the flight down to Sunrise, so he will be with the team. If he has concussion, which seems to be what people think it is and what the most obvious issue would be, I don't see how you turn around and are playing a game within 3 days. I also 4 days. And I think it's also a dangerous kind of move in the sense that if he's not ready, you know, he's 36 years old. Concussions can be a career ender for guys that are that age. And Marchand is too important to bring back for a game if he's not ready, and then he has you know, post-concussion issues that linger in the offseason, make him a question mark for the next year, you know, things of that nature. Like, this is a very delicate situation. I think Don Sweeney had a comment that kind of alluded to the idea of him being out for game five, saying that, you know, the Bruins need to give him a chance. And how I would read that is they have to win game five so that he becomes a better option for, you know, game six or game seven, should they get that far.
All right. What's the formula for success in getting that game five win?
Shooting. It sounds silly, I know, but like, this team has not shot the puck nearly enough, in my opinion, against Sergei Bobrovsky. You look at their shot totals, and they're abysmal. They're averaging, I think, under 20 shots a game in this round. They've had multiple periods where they've shot fewer than five shots on goal. But when you look at them, when they have shot the puck, they're scoring. Their five-on-five shooting percentage in the second round is 11.7%. That's the second best among the remaining eight teams. Only Vancouver's been better. And so you look at it from that standpoint, like, they are scoring when they get pucks on net. I don't believe in the idea of a bad shot in the playoffs. I just don't. I've seen enough wacky goals and rebound goals and deflections, and, you know, just getting shots on goal is imperative, and it's something they got to do. It's paramount to their success. And you sort of look at the goals that Bobrovsky has been given up in this series, and you should keep on shooting. Like, that Brandon Carlo goal, that's not a whole lot of mustard on that shot. You know? And then there's been Bobrovsky's had a hard time tracking pucks as well. Chaos, you know, the Bruins say they're not a volume shooting team. What I would say is that they've built a team that should be a volume shooting team. You have a bunch of big bodies and guys who go to the hard areas of the paint. And so when you have that kind of roster construct, you just need to get it off a stick, a leg, a skate, something, and go in. And so I don't think this team can afford to be as selective as they have been when it comes to getting their shots on goal.
Bruins, listen to Ty. He knows what he's talking about here. Ty Anderson from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ty, appreciate you making time for us, as always, and we will catch up with you again before too long.
Awesome. Sounds good. Hope we got more hockey to talk about after Tuesday night.
I sure hope so. Fingers crossed. Thanks, Ty.
Anytime.